There was a large crowd here last night at the 4:30 Mass, and the young man from the parish preached for them, our new young priest, and they were very happy with his homily. But you're stuck with the same old guy. I want to talk to you today about Jesus being a master teacher. Jesus understands the human heart, and he knows that all of us, when we see certain things we're supposed to do, but we don't want to put out the energy, or don't have the courage, are afraid of what others will think, that we want to dodge part of the gospel. All of us have sections of the gospel that we don't want to hear. For many of us who keep all of the trends of the gospel, when it challenges us about prejudice, I don't want to hear that, or challenges us about thinking about a much more non-violent world, we don't want to hear that part of loving our enemy. Those are tough things. And part of the human heart is that we want to dodge part of that and come up with excuses. And that's what the Word of God is about today. In that first reading, people said, well, you know, part of the reason we don't follow God's law is it's not that clear. It's up in the heavens, and we don't understand it. And if somebody could go up to the heavens and get it for us and bring it down, then we could follow it. Or it's too far across the sea. Someone else knows about it, but no one wants to go get that law. But if they went and got it and showed it to us, then we'd follow it. And the prophet says, now, he said, the law of God is written in your heart. The way we were created by God, we know what's right and wrong. We know when we're not doing something right. That's where the feeling of guilt comes in. You know, and people laugh, as we've talked about before, people love to tease us about Catholic guilt. Thank God for Catholic guilt. Because what they're saying is, well, Catholics feel guilty about things. Guilt is a good thing. Guilt tells us, it's our body's way of saying, you're not being honest with yourself. You're not being true to yourself. That's why you feel some shame or some guilt. Now, of course, there is neurotic guilt, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the normal, healthy person who just, God says, no, it's written in your heart what you ought to do. You know it. It's built into us as people. The gospel is about that too. The gospel is about a scholar who wants to dodge what he doesn't want to do by getting into other things. So he says to Jesus, what do I have to do? Not what do I get to do? When you love someone, it's what you get to do. What do I have to do to inherit everlasting life? And Jesus says, well, you're a scholar of the law. What do you say? And he says, well, you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. That's from Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Every Jewish man and woman knew that. Every scholar knew that. But then it says, but he wanted to justify himself. There were certain neighbors he didn't want to love like himself. So he wants to justify himself and dodge what he ought to do. So he says to Jesus, "Who's my neighbor?" And the reason he asked that question is everybody knew the two great commandments of God, love of God, love of neighbor. But after those two great commandments, the Jewish people had 400 plus little commands that came out of it that made all kinds of distinctions. For instance, if you saw somebody who was hurting, who was your enemy, you didn't have to help them. And Jesus says, I'm not going to get into a theological debate with you, because you want to debate what all these scholars say about these 400 little laws of when you're bound to help somebody and when you're not. I want you to love as God loves. I don't want to get into a theological debate. You're trying to dodge what you ought to do. So he says, I'm going to tell you a story. So he tells him a story, and he says, you know, this man was robbed and stripped and beaten and left half dead in the ditch. And a priest came along, and the guy says, oh, okay. Well, the priest comes along and walks by him. Well, maybe the priest had a reason he walked by him, because if he touched him, he'd be ritually impure and he couldn't work at the temple. But if you're careful and you read the story, he's coming down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's already been at the temple. He's already done his priestly duties. And the law of mercy said, you have to take care of those who are hurting. But he passes him by. He dodged it. Then a Levite, who's supposed to know the law well, comes by, and he makes some distinctions. Well, I don't know. They took this guy's clothes and took what he had. Maybe he's not even a Jew. Maybe he's part of our enemy. And if he's part of the enemy, I don't have to help him. And he goes by. So the guy is saying, okay. And then he says, but a foreigner comes by, a Samaritan. People that we consider our enemy. And he stops, and he not only helps him, but he helps him the way God would help him. He not only bathes his wounds, he not only bandages him, he goes the extra mile, he puts him on his horse or donkey. He takes him to an inn. He tells the man, do whatever you need to do, and I have to keep going right now, but I'll come back next week. I want you to do everything you need to do for this man. That sounds like God. That's what God would do. If we're hurting, he wants to do everything he can do. But then Jesus, the master teacher, does the perfect thing. Then Jesus says, he switches the wording and the question. And instead of saying, who is my neighbor? He says, who was neighbor to the man? He switches it from a noun to a verb. Not who is my neighbor, who acted like a neighbor? Who acted like God? Who was neighbor to this man? Who loved like God does, who lets it rain on the just and the unjust? Who does it like God does, who loves his enemy and forgives those of us who don't keep his commands and who've walked away from him? And the scholar, he gets through to him. And the scholar says, you know, it was the guy who treated him like a neighbor, who treated him with mercy. And then God says, Jesus says to him, go and do likewise. Quit thinking so much and do it. Let's come back to us. How many times have you and I been coming out of Sam's, or going down the road, or coming down a highway, and here's someone with a sign that they're homeless? And immediately we start thinking, are they really homeless? Are they just collecting easy money? Are they going to use it for booze? What are they going to do? And we keep asking questions until the light turns green and we can pull on and don't have to do anything. What if it is Jesus walking along the side of our car and he really is homeless? What you did to one of my brothers and sisters, you did to me. The next time you and I are tempted to dodge what we ought to do, think about this. I'll end by telling you something humorous. When I was writing this homily, I just got to this part. The next time you and I want to dodge something, I got that far and the phone rang. Because as soon as I was going to finish the homily, I was going to get on the treadmill and then clean up. It was the hospital. Can you come and anoint someone? And I thought, okay, I got the point. I had just written down, the next time you have a chance to do good, don't dodge it. Don't think it. Do what God would do. I went to the hospital.